The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
White people and black people, as we call ourselves, should not have any contact with each other. You still refuse to understand this. They hate your fucking guts. And why do they hate your guts? Because they know that your rightful place is as a fucking slave. They didn't choose to elect. They didn't elect to make you an equal. You had to force them to make you an equal. And now they're just getting more angry and more angry. The anger is building up. And nothing can happen here differently than what happened over in Europe with the Jews. I want you to believe that that's possible.
That's from just a month ago, last month in March. And, of course, this week he's shooting up people in the subway there in Brooklyn. Another black nationalist. I think who was it? Daryl Brooks? Wasn't that just right before Thanksgiving? So that was what, 5-6 months ago? He takes his car, he mows down all those people in that Waukesha parade. And then now this. And he shoots up the victims are mostly Asian. And there he is on YouTube. YouTube never took his channel down. Never censored him, never deleted him. He had been investigated by the FBI. The New York police knew about him. And then he goes on the rampage, still at large, I guess. Cameras weren't working in the subway system. This is amazing, this story. But you can expect it to go the way of Waukesha. You won't be hearing about it for much longer. Maybe gun control, whatever it is. Because of his race, and we'll come to that more here in just a moment, but because of his race, the media, the propagandists in the media will dust off and quickly move on. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show at CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. To get to the live video stream, you have to go to our very own website. That would be thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com and then /live. It takes you to the live stream page. You get the live stream of this show every day at about 11:05 here in Oklahoma, the central time zone of the United States. And on that same page, by the way, you can get to our podcasts that are posted after the fact. So once it's learned that the perpetrator is black, in this case a black nationalist, a racist through and through, you heard it there in his diatribe from just a few weeks ago, right there on YouTube for all the world to see. We got to kill Whitey or the Asians, and he may well have done that. I think the last I heard last night, 5 of them in critical condition, and here he is still on the run, and. The media, they fancy themselves as being there for you to report the truth, to help you. Here you've got a gunman, a mass shooter at large, and they can't even describe him. They can't even describe him the right way. I mean, the race of the individual, besides the fact that he's a man, okay, he's a man, you've established that, but the race of the individual, that's all important. Listen to this from Jesse Waters' program last night as he just gives a rundown of how the major media, the legacy media, reported on this breaking news from yesterday, clip 4.
Just take a look at how they're reporting on the suspect. ABC calling him, quote, a man wearing a green construction vest and a gray hooded sweatshirt with a heavy build and about 5'5". NBC saying he's a man believed to be about 5'5 and 180 pounds who was wearing a green construction vest during the attack. And the New York Times saying police were seeking a man with a heavy build who had been wearing a green construction vest and a gray sweatshirt. And here's Nicole Wallace.
They're looking for a man believed to be about 5'5", 180 pounds, who wore a green construction vest over a gray hooded sweatshirt during the attack.
But notice what all those descriptions have in common. Somehow, they all forgot to mention his race. How do you explain leaving out the main identifying trait of a suspect who just shot up a subway full of commuters? All these people ever talk about is race. And when it actually matters, when there's a dangerous suspect on the loose that we need the public's help in apprehending, they just leave it out.
He's completely right there. It's all they ever talk about, except when the suspect is black. It's so predictable. If it's a white shooter, it's the curse of white supremacy. It's the greatest threat facing the United States of America. Donald Trump is connected to it, to be sure. If it's a black suspect, well, the only problem is the guns. And then maybe there's a mental health angle to this story. We'll probably hear about that soon enough. But all of these social media platforms that have censored and deleted Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, they allow this kind of diatribe that you heard at the top of the segment to just go on every day. And the FBI, they're investigating him. And then Zero Hedge, let me just read to you what they reported. It started yesterday with Newsweek reporting that the suspect, still at large in the shooting, Frank James, had been investigated and cleared by the FBI in 2019. Now, if he would have walked into the Capitol for 10 minutes, he'd be in jail he'd still be in jail. But he was investigated, this man that you heard, hates the whites, hates the Jews, hates the Asians, and he wants to kill them. This man, he's investigated and he's cleared. It says, soon after that report emerged, thousands of people scouring James's social media presence made a truly shocking, if unsurprising, discovery. The suspect who shot at least 10 people in a terrifying and meticulously planned mass shooting. Police found explosive devices that didn't detonate, so it could have been much worse. Has been publishing bizarre, hate-filled rants on YouTube, praising other mass shooters, terrorists, and calling on people to kill Whitey. So, actual crimes, people committing actual crime, FBI clears their investigation on this man, Frank James. Meanwhile, never has a presidential administration cracked down harder on non-existent crimes, as we've been discussing, than Joe Obama. Barack Obama, he's the puppet master. But Joe Biden's, his DOJ, his FBI, I mean, they go after the selfie takers, for sure. Because they're political opponents. They're to be persecuted. Amazingly, it says at Zero Hedge, YouTube hasn't yet taken down the page, which, as far as we can tell, still includes all of the hateful videos that media outlets have reported on extensively overnight. Now, maybe they've taken it down by this point. Who knows? It says here, in one video, James verbally attacked New York City Mayor Adams, saying he had been through the city's mental health system due to a mental health issue that had gotten him locked up. In the system, he said, he experienced a kind of violence that would make someone go and get a gun and shoot people, to take out the expletive. It says, finally, in his videos, he appears to express support for an extreme black nationalist ideology. At certain points, he even expresses a hatred or a dislike for black people, referring to them as racial slurs, which we won't repeat here. Although you can find examples of this elsewhere. Remember, it wasn't that long ago when you had the BLM leader. He was right on the street of New York City calling for violence. Calling for violence. And then you have Daryl Brooks just last year, the end of last year, right before Thanksgiving, mowing down those parade goers. And then now this, Frank James. And who knows how many will be dead after it's all said and done. But it'll go the way of Waukesha. Who talks about Waukesha today? Nobody. Joe Scarborough doesn't care about Waukesha. Brian Stelter doesn't care about Waukesha. And so expect for this to be quickly brushed aside. crime, out of control crime, and so many of the talking heads and so many of the politicians who are now in control, these radical communists in power, because of their policies, we've got out of control crime, and then this, another mass shooting. But it's not the one that fits comfortably in the narrative that the legacy media often is out there really promoting. This one's a little bit different. Shifting gears here a bit, this is Mark Thiessen at the Washington Post. He's talking about the border crisis. He says here, Biden is turning a border crisis into an outright catastrophe. You know about lifting Title 42. I mean, we're about a month away from that. And we've talked on this program about how the estimate, 7,000 per day, it's going to go up to 18,000. We've heard some reports since then suggesting it's going to be even a lot more than 18,000 per day. Because they're lining up there at the border just waiting to come in because of Joe Obama. Because this is the policy is to take a crisis and to turn it into a catastrophe. It says here, now Biden's ready to double down on disaster by lifting Title 42, the Trump-era public health order that allows border officials to turn away illegal migrants to prevent the spread of COVID-19. So the gates are lifted. COVID-19 is no longer a threat unless you get on an airplane. Unless you're an actual American citizen getting on an airplane. Then you've got to wear the mask. Then you've got to comply. You can't spread the disease. And yet all of these illegals just streaming across the border, maskless. They haven't gotten the vaccination, so many of them. It says here, by lifting Title 42, the Biden administration is trying to have it both ways, declaring the pandemic emergency over for illegal migrants at the border, but not for the rest of us. How do you explain this? This is how you explain it. America under attack. There is no other explanation. They're attacking America. They're attacking Americans. And they're promoting and they're facilitating mass murderers like the latest at the New York subway. Slap on the wrist. That's probably all that they want for this man, if they even catch him. It says here, if the pandemic emergency is over, why are they still insisting we wear masks on planes? Well, that's a good question. If it's over for the migrants, then what about for the rest of us? Yesterday, I went through that Lee Smith article from Epoch Times. Read a few tweets and comments on the article just this morning. And as I say, this is exactly what thetrumpet.com has been saying for months. You can see it in this. The President of the United States, it's got the asterisk there. It's a fake, illegitimate administration. But as I've been pointing out recently, the real fake president, and that's coming out in a Trumpet brief today, I believe. We wrote up some of that material from last week's show, but the real fake president is Barack Obama. And Lee Smith brings this out at the Epoch Times. Talks about the media. The media are just complaining that it's much harder to carry Biden than they had imagined before they helped escort him in. They got him into office. Now even the media, they're seeing all of these disastrous, catastrophic policies leading to a crisis everywhere that you look. And even some in the media are not—they're not carrying the water for Joe Obama the way that they once did. They're pulling the plug on Joe Biden, as is Obama. This is what Lee Smith said about Obama and his visit to the White House last week. It says what the Obama faction wanted was a politically plausible avatar through which it could push game-changing policies without having to be held accountable. So as he says, this is effectively Obama's third term. And isn't it perfect? Joe Biden gets to take all the hits. Joe Biden gets to take all the blame for the disasters that we see all around us. It says here, Obama's visit to the White House last week was a celebration of Biden, or more specifically, the plan to use Biden as a cover for Obama's proxy presidency. It says here, sure, it looked bad to some that all the attention was on the former president while Biden wandered the room like a mute ghost. But that's the message Obama wanted to send. It was me all along. I did this. I'm responsible for all this. and there's Obama and the crowds around him swooning. This is what they do in the presence of Antiochus. That's brought out in this booklet, America Under Attack. They did it all through the first and second term, and they're doing it again during the third term. Even though the country, the entire country, it's like a dumpster fire. Anywhere that you look. Obama, he's the one to be credited for all of this. And yet how convenient. How convenient as he pulls the plug on Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the fall guy, Michael Isikoff. He had a hand in the distribution of, or at least the promotion of, the dirty steel dossier to try to attack Donald Trump, to try to destroy Donald Trump's presidency before it even got started. Isikoff, he works for, who is it, Newsweek or the AP, I forget. But in any event, he comes out with an article of late. It says, new Hunter Biden revelations raise counterintelligence questions. So here, the Washington Post has reported on it. The New York Times has covered it. So finally, here comes Michael Isikoff. Here it is in my notes. He works for Yahoo News. So here he's finally on board. Now, this is very serious. Oh, you mean the content on Hunter's laptop is serious? Yes, says Isikoff. He's been one of the chief propagandists in the legacy media. Even he is turning on Joe Biden. He explains in his article how that China invested, you can put that in quotes, China invested $4.8 million into Hunter's firm. What were these Chinese companies? It's CEFC, this CCP company, basically. What were these companies getting from Hunter Biden in return for their $5 million? This was going on while Joe Biden was vice president under the first and second term of Obama. So what was happening here? Would you think it's a quid pro quo? Adam Schiff and company, they were so concerned about that during the second impeachment. Or I guess it was the first impeachment over Ukraine, the perfect phone call. And yet look at this. Patrick Ho, this is the one that made this arrangement, the Chinese communist that made the arrangement with Hunter. He was arrested at the JFK airport in 2017. And the FBI at the time said it was part of what may be a Chinese government-run plot to dole out millions of dollars in bribes to African leaders in exchange for major energy contracts that appeared to advance Chinese governmental interests. Pay to play. That's what he was doing, Patrick Ho, with all these African nations. And then here he is sending $4.8 million to Hunter's company. What was going on here? You would think the feds would be very concerned about this. Well, at least there's a few prosecutors in New York who are. But what about Bill Barr? He was there. He was there during the infamous laptop period where social media, the same social media that allows this deranged lunatic to post his videos every day, every week, every month. I want to kill Whitey. That's okay. But if you dare talk about Hunter's laptop, you're blotted out, at least for 17 months. Now here comes Isikoff. He's finally reporting the truth. Something big's about to break. You can bet that's the case. Because they know. They know. Either the indictments are coming, or they know that Obama's pulling the plug on Biden, or maybe both. And so here they are trying to get out ahead of the story. Isikoff writes, there was one noteworthy detail about Ho's global... This is the guy arrested by the FBI in 2017. One noteworthy detail about Ho's global wheeling and dealing that went unmentioned in federal court documents or Justice Department press releases at the time. During the same period that he was being pursued by the FBI for his role in the global bribery scheme, Ho and his boss, a billionaire oil tycoon with past ties to a front for the People's Liberation Army, had entered into a business relationship with two members of the Biden family, President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and the president's brother, James Biden. So you've got Hunter and Bob Alinsky brought out a lot of this when he revealed it back in October of 2020, handed over his cell phones, said there's no question the big guy is Joe Biden. He gets the 10% cut. It says here, as Yahoo News first reported, when Ho was arrested by agents at JFK, the first call he made was to James Biden. He needs help. This Chinese communist, all these dealings, these bribes going out to African nations, and yes, Hunter's company. He gets arrested and detained by the FBI, and who does he call first? Well, someone with connections. That would be the brother of the Vice President of the United States, or at least the brother of Joe Biden, if it was just after Trump came into office. In any event, he called someone with connections. At the time, it says, Ho's connection to the Bidens was unclear, but emails on a damaged laptop that Hunter Biden left at a computer repair store, you know, the laptop, left it at the store, it says, many of which have since been authenticated by the Washington Post and the Times. You see, this is Isikoff saying, well, now it's legit because of the Post and the Times. Sorry, the Washington Post and the New York Times. If it's the New York Post and Rudy Giuliani, it's to be discredited. It's to be characterized as Russian disinformation. It says here, as well as bank records and other documents uncovered by Senate Republican investigators reveal a high-dollar money trail that flowed from Chinese interests to Hunter and James Biden, and which now appears to be at the heart of an ongoing Justice Department criminal investigation. So here's Patrick Ho, who represents the Chinese government and their attempt, basically, to bribe the Biden family, to buy out the Biden family, to pay for play, to pay for influence. Isikoff says here, but the depth and the breadth of Biden's financial ties with Ho and Yi raise new questions as to whether they were targets of a Chinese influence operation that, separate and apart from an ongoing criminal probe into Hunter Biden for alleged tax fraud and potentially foreign lobbying violations, represents a counterintelligence threat. So there's the tax fraud, obviously, the foreign lobbying violations, and then just the outright bribes that the Biden family, the Biden crime family, was taking from the Chinese communists in these exchanges, by the way, these emails and such. Hunter refers to Patrick Ho as literally the blank spy chief of China. He knew this was the guy he was working with, arrested by the FBI in 2017. He brags in an email, or at least states it outright. Yeah, I'm in business with the Chinese spy chief. The Bidens take in $4.8 million. $4.8 million from the Chinese. And what did the Bidens give in return? Who knows? Who knows? Maybe Isikoff, maybe the Post, maybe the New York Times will do a little more digging. Let's hope that those investigators are. But look, one last point to make in all of this, and it's a point that we've made before, but you see quite a few people turning on Joe Biden, turning on Hunter Biden. Initially, of course, it's Russian propaganda, or maybe it's counterintelligence. We've got to investigate this to protect the president. Now, even Isikoff, one who is out there promoting the dirty dossier, even Michael Isikoff is saying that the Bidens may well be compromised. Wow. I mean, these are stunning revelations. Joe Biden is... he's the current occupant of the White House. And his family taking in all of this money? None of this was brought up in 2017 or 18. None of it was brought up by Bill Barr when he came into office. None of it was brought up before the election. You know, Bill Barr's out there now talking tough. Oh, they did try to influence the election, these radicals, these radical Democrats. But these are the kinds of revelations that he sat on, Bill Barr. He carefully concealed it. Now he's got his book out there, and now he's out there trying to promote himself. Frank Figliuzzi, he's over at MSNBC, and just a total crackpot if you listen to some of his commentary. But to hear what he says. What he says, this is a radical communist, hardcore leftist liberal. And regarding Biden, he said there is no question that Chinese intelligence services look for every possible opportunity to get close to family members of high-ranking officials. To him, even he says, yeah, if they could get to the high-ranking officials in the government, including the Bidens, well, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Figliozzi says, I believe that the information we've learned is something that merits a review by the counterintelligence arm of the FBI. Yeah, I think this needs to be looked into, says Figliozzi, says Isikoff, says the Washington Post, says New York Times, and all of them saying it probably because Barack Obama is saying it. Barack Obama, just like Lee Smith pointed out in that piece I read to you yesterday, the Obamas knew all about the Bidens' dealings with the communists in China. They had all of this dirt, and they, just like the late Rush Limbaugh said before he died, the Obamas would be able to hold it against the Bidens when the time was right. And now it appears to be that time. Isikoff, in his article, he quotes this former FBI official who said, there's no doubt Hunter presents counterintelligence vulnerabilities. There's no doubt he's compromised. There's no doubt that this needs to be looked into. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. When we come back, we'll finish off today with a Bible study. And if we have some time, we'll get into some viewer feedback. If you'd like to submit some feedback, don't forget to email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
In 1 John 4, God tells us that we are to try the spirits. This is 1 John 4, verses 1 and 2. God says to try the every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And then it says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. It says, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. And so as my father brings out in the last hour book, it's not enough to just have the truth. But we've got to be discerning of the spirit behind it as well. The spirit behind the truth. That means we're we're using the power of God and discerning attitudes, motivations, that kind of thing. Look at Isaiah 14. This is the passage about Lucifer and how his thinking was corrupted. The companion passage over in Ezekiel 28 speaks of Lucifer's heart being lifted up. Lucifer, who became Satan the devil, his heart was lifted up, the scriptures say, because of his beauty, because of his power, because of his special talents and abilities. And when that happened, when he became filled with vanity and pride, it corrupted his thinking, his attitudes. Here in Isaiah 14 and verse 12, it says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? It says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven and exalt my throne above God. I know what's best. I know better than God. Sometimes, you know, this church will get emails from people who, I mean, they've got some kind of imagined injustice that has happened to them, and they cannot change their attitude. There is no telling them that they're wrong. They're just convinced they're right, and they won't let it go. That's the way Satan was. He just couldn't let go of this vain, prideful attitude. Vanity. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, said it is Satan's attitude that is his prime evil. He does not hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. He harbors only the deep-rooted desire to do evil, to go contrary to God's law of love and righteousness. He doesn't desire to serve and obey God. He doesn't love the family of God. His desire is to do evil, always, only evil. And that attitude, of course, is what has spread all across this earth. It spread into the angels, a third of the angels that worked underneath Lucifer. And who knows how long that took. Herbert Armstrong says this in his book, The Incredible Human Potential. He said, think how long it must have taken the soured and embittered Lucifer to turn millions of holy angels into resentment, bitterness, disloyalty, and finally open and vicious rebellion. It could have taken hundreds, thousands, or millions of years. It says this was all before the first human was created. So it could have taken a million years for that corrupted thinking, those bad attitudes, those evil attitudes to spread. But be assured, there's a third of the angels who are now demons carrying out the will of Satan the devil. And they are the reason this world is the way it is. Mr. Armstrong said in that same book, I know well the method he used, so we don't know how long it took, but we know about the method because he uses the same method today. It says, he uses the same method still today in leading deceived humans into disloyalty, rebellion, and self-centered opposition against God's government. First, he turns one or two to envy, jealousy, and resentment over an imagined injustice, and then into disloyalty. See, there's some kind of injustice. I was mistreated. So-and-so mistreated. He didn't treat me right. He cheated me. He lied to me. He lied about me. And I just can't get over it. It's just not fair. Well, look at the way I've been treated. Mr. Armstrong says, then he uses that one or two like a rotten apple in a crate. Well, you know the example. Mr. Armstrong said, if you don't get the rotten apple out, it's going to corrupt every single apple in the crate. And I don't have time to go through the various scriptures that talk about, you know, marking somebody or putting someone out like Paul did in 1 Corinthians 5. He said, look, you've allowed this sin to just exist in your midst when you should have put it out. They were glorying over their tolerance of sin, the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 5. And Paul said, look, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You got to get the sin out or else it's going to corrupt everything. It's going to spread like a cancer. Read that whole chapter and see. Well, we'll actually get into it, I think, if I have time here in just a second. But let me go to Ephesians 2 to begin with. It says in verse 1, and you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, whereupon in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, there's a spirit working in disobedient children. And Paul says, now we were once going according to that course as well. So we don't want to be lifted up or haughty in our thinking. We've all been brought out of this world. And this is not God's world. This is Satan's world. That's why you see the chaos that you do, the lawlessness, the crime, the mass shootings, the war, the rumors of war, as Jesus said, the disease, famine, starvation in third world nations. Mr. Armstrong wrote this, once you are converted and become a begotten child of God, once you become a member of God's church, that does not disconnect your brain and spirit from Satan's wavelength. You are still tuned in if you are willing to yield and listen to Satan. See, you're not, when baptized, we had some baptisms here recently on campus, and the ordinance of baptism, the receipt of God's Holy Spirit, that doesn't automatically disconnect you from Satan's wavelength or from Satan's broadcast. We have to refuse to yield to and to listen to the devil's broadcast and to plug into the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. Even still, I mean, Satan just surcharges the air with his attitudes, as Herbert Armstrong taught. His attitudes, his moods, and he really is coming after God's family first and foremost. He really is targeting the people of God above all because they've been exposed to the truth, because they've come out from this world. And so he goes after our families. He goes after our children. He goes after our congregations. He goes after God's ministers as well. He's always on the attack. He's attacking the role of the father and the husband. He wants to turn everything upside down in the family, the Bible-defined traditional family. He's coming at us from every single angle, as I say. Sometimes people can deceive themselves into thinking they're safe from the devil's attacks because maybe they're prospering financially, or maybe they have the looks, the good looks, the beauty. Maybe they have the intellectual, abilities. Mr. Armstrong used to talk about how that in some cases those special abilities or the fine looks can work against you because of, again, vanity. I mean, there could be no more capable and competent being than Lucifer. This archangel that God created and made with all these special talents and abilities. He was taught and trained at the feet of God. He had all of this musical talent and ability. But he took all of that because of his vanity, because of his pride, because of his rebellious spirit, his lawlessness. And he used it, instead of using it to serve God, he took those special abilities and talents and used it for pure evil. And he continues to this day. Verse 3, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, our nature prior to conversion, and Mr. Armstrong, again, he taught this, our nature, it was plugged into Satan's wavelength. Satan is the reason. I mean, he's the reason. He's responsible for all that we see going on in this world. He's the cause of this attack on America. He's behind it. It says in, this is another article that Mr. Armstrong wrote. I don't have the date on it, but he says, the very principle of sin, the spirit of sin then, is vanity, and its manifestations are self-desire, haughtiness, party spirit, wanting to be like the people of the world around us, wanting to conform to the world and its customs, the desire to be admired, the desire to attract the opposite sex, the desire to make others jealous, the fear of being thought inferior or out of date or nonconformist, and of course greed, lust, selfishness, envy, jealousy, and the thousand and one ways in which this self nature expresses itself. I mean, think about this, these attitudes, these impulses, these kinds of thoughts. The devil's just bombarding us with this. I mean, we have plenty to work on without just constantly going around pointing the finger at some other guy. Now, to be sure, persecution is coming upon the Church of God. It will come from without, but as I tell anyone counseling for baptism in this church, in God's family, look, when your head hits the brick wall or when you're coming upon sore trial and test, your automatic knee-jerk reaction every time has to be to look at yourself, not someone else. To look at yourself in the mirror, just like the Apostle James wrote. The Bible's like a spiritual mirror, and God wants us to see our wicked heart. He wants us to see these attitudes of selfishness and envy and jealousy. He wants us to see the self-desire and the haughtiness and the party spirit and how that takes precedent more often than not over what God's will is. Look at Jesus himself in Luke 22, the night before his crucifixion. He prayed that this cup might pass from him and then concluded in his prayer, "Nevertheless, not as my will," he admitted to God, "my will is to not have to go through this. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done." A perfect example of our living Savior submitting to the will of God. Mr. Armstrong wrote this, "Now what is sin? The expression of the innate natural self in any or several of these many ways is sin. The violation of the letter of any of the Ten Commandments is merely the expression of this natural self in one or more of these many ways." See, this is what we're, particularly as we come into Passover and the days of unleavened bread, this is what we're putting out or working with God's help to put out of our lives and minds, our hearts. These many sins, these many attitudes, it all starts with an evil attitude. This is the devil's prime evil. All of the devil's evil actions and behaviors, they spring from a rotten attitude, a lawless spirit. And God says to try the spirits. Make sure that you know it's of God's spirit and not the devil's. Notice Luke 22. It says, and there was, this is verse 24. It says, "And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." So here were the disciples of Christ. They had spent the better part of 3+ years with the Messiah, the Son of God. And they were jockeying for position. They were talking about who was going to be the greatest, who was going to be the most powerful. There was a lot of jealousy among the group. Verse 25, it says, "And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you,'" verse 26, "'let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that does serve.'" So Christ, he discerned their jockeying, their wrong carnal attitudes. And he said, "Look, leadership in this world, it's not like what I've been teaching you these past 3.5 years. It's altogether different, in fact. In the world, of course, they do play favorites. They exalt their best friends. They exalt the ones that look the prettiest, or that have the most educational credentials. They exalt intellectual vanity. They promote that. That's the way of this world. And you see a lot of leaders in this world that just have, it's hardly even concealed anymore, this greed and this lust for power. I was mentioning in one of my classes the other day, China, Xi Jinping, he's basically just chucked whatever constitutional law they had out the window in 2018, and now he's absolute ruler for life. Forget about democracy. Forget about elections. Putin did the same thing years ago. I mean, these are modern leaders leading hundreds of millions of people, or in the case of China, billions, over a billion. And he says, "I'm going to rule from here on out. And if he imposes a heavy-duty lockdown in Shanghai, well, then he is not to be questioned." That's how tyrants rule in the world today, and we're seeing a lot of that tyrannical behavior, even in our Western nations, even in our Western democracies, as they lie, steal, cheat, murder, do whatever they can to maintain their grip on power. That's the way of the world. It's all built on the principle of get. Do whatever it takes to stay in power. In God's family, in God's kingdom, it's different. God judges us. He evaluates us based upon our faith, not how we look, not how we're educated in this world system, not what our last name might be or where we come from. It's based upon faith and character and producing fruit. Godly leaders are appointed by God. They're not appointed by men, thankfully. They're not voted in. They're not chosen by whoever, a relative or whatever it might be in the world's systems. It's very different. Verse 27, it says, "For whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves, is not he that sits at meat, but I am among you that serves." So you can go through the companion passage in Matthew 20 and see, as Christ spells it out further over there, that the key to being a great leader for God is to be a servant of men, to serve God and his family, to serve this world even. Verse 28, it says, "You are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Christ, here he was right at the end of his physical life, and as it says later in the Gospels, his earnest desire was to take that final Passover. His mind was on the kingdom of God. He was giving all these last-minute instructions to his disciples. Verse 31 says, "And the Eternal said, Simon, Simon," he repeats his name twice, "Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Here you are, you disciples, bickering over your position in God's kingdom. And it's important that you know what Satan is doing as you fight with one another. He's working to destroy you. And this is one way that he does it, through these kinds of petty jealousies, this kind of competition. Satan has desired to have you. That Greek word, it appears just here in the New Testament, and the meaning is to demand or to ask from, to demand of. I mean, that's, Satan is bold and audacious in his attacks. He wants us to submit to his government, to his authority, to his rule. "Simon," says Jesus, "Satan has desired to have you, that he may just sift you as wheat." Verse 32 continues, "But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted," it says, "strengthen your brethren." See, Satan is going to be allowed to try us. He is our great adversary. We do have to resist against him and to draw near to God, as it says in James. We do need to draw on the power of God, the strength that God makes available. Otherwise, the devil's just going to devour us. But Jesus says here, look, don't worry so much. I've prayed for you. And when you're converted, when you receive the Spirit of God, concentrate and focus on strengthening the brethren, the family of God, in other words. In other words, get out there and really serve like God's leaders are meant to serve. Give of yourself. Sacrifice for others. Be a living sacrifice for God. Get your mind off of yourself. Get your mind off of, well, what position am I going to be in? How can I move up the ladder? How can I excel this guy over here or this one over here? Christ says, strengthen the brethren. Focus on that. Ephesians 6, verse 10, this explains here, this passage, what we're going up against day in and day out, and the strength and the power that we need to resist against the devil. Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord. And so draw near to God. faithfully and earnestly and effectually pray and study the Bible. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We've got to put on the entire armor if we're going to be able to stand against. And notice, you've got to stand against the devil. You can't cave into the pressure. You can't compromise. We have to be upholders of the law and truth. We have to be defenders of God's government. Verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and in high places. See, these are our enemies that we're fighting against every day. And Satan's behind it. And we want to be careful even with respect to human nature and just sort of blaming some of the weaknesses and struggles that we have on human nature, as we like to call it. It's actually Satan's nature. It's actually the devil's broadcast that's bringing this about and us yielding to it, submitting to it, when we should be plugging into the mind of Christ. It's just too easy to dismiss sinful behavior as, oh, well, I had a bad day, or, well, today I didn't get up and get in my prayer, not like I should. But tomorrow I'll come back strong. Well, maybe we do have our ups and downs. But when we have our downs, be assured that we are leaving the door open for Satan and his influence, for Ephesians 2 and verse 2 to happen. Satan just bombarding us with his thoughts, his ideas, his attitudes, his impulses. It shows just how much we need God and his mind every day. We've got to plug into it. We're in a wrestling match. We're fighting, not against flesh and blood, against these principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You see, we don't have to worry about or fear what men might do or think or say. Here's our real adversary. Here are our real opponents. Spiritual wickedness, principalities, it says there. Verse 13, it continues, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. See, you've got to do your part. I've got to do my part. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, it says in Philippians. It's a straight and narrow way. Jesus told us this. But we've got to work it out. We've got to put in the effort with God's help and power to stand firm, to stand against delusion, Laodiceanism, lukewarmness, materialism. Verse 18, further down, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, watching, praying, as Jesus said in Luke 21, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. We've got to do our part. We've got to put on the armor. We've got to provide firm resistance. We've got to stand strong. What does it say in James 4? I paraphrased it a moment ago. We can finish with this. This is James 4, verses 7 and 8. God says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is the only way he'll flee, is if we resist against him and we're submitting to God. It says here, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We're coming right up to Passover, and then following just immediately after that is the days of unleavened bread, which picture putting away sin, which picture purifying our hands and our hearts of these attitudes broadcast by our adversary, the devil. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Didn't have time for emails, sorry about that. But if you'd like to submit your own feedback, you can write the show td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.